Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelly, and I'm your host for this podcast. We've been on a short hiatus, a little break before we geared up for the third season of the podcast. I cannot believe that we have been doing this for 3 years. And what a blast it's been. I've met so many amazing women and learned so much and just have had such a great time. I am excited to have Linda Cormier on as my first guest after the break. Linda is a creator of a multi-million dollar wellness company, and she also coaches, has a personal coaching and leadership program, The Journey to Heroic Joy and the Heroic Joy Academy. And what we talk about in this episode basically is that joy and chaos can exist in our lives. We can focus on what we want and what we don't want. Finding your passion isn't as burdensome as we think it should be. So she gives you some tips on your North Star goals. So I love this episode. I hope you love it as much as I did. But before we go to the interview with Linda, I just want to remind you, we have a Facebook group. I'll drop the link down below. And also, you can support this independent DIY podcast by becoming a patron of my Patreon. All sorts of goodies for the $5 a month tier. So check that out down below. Okay, friends, on to my episode with Linda. First, I have a really important question to ask you. I saw on your profile on your website that you love spicy margaritas. I love margaritas. That's why I like honed in on margaritas. And you like pink peonies. Peonies are my favorite flower ever. Uh-oh. Yeah. So I want to know, how do you pronounce peonies? Is it peonies or peonies?
I say peony. Say peony. And we have all these funny conversations. My daughter and I were just talking about, we say cauliflower, and her boyfriend's like, yeah, people make fun of me for saying cauliflower. They say cauliflower. Like, yeah. Okay. But yeah. I think it's peony. I pronounce it peony.
Yeah. So, hey, Linda, thanks for coming on the podcast. And before we got started, I had like several topics I really wanted to talk to you about. So hopefully we can like weave these into a conversation. If not, we'll have you come back on another episode. But one of the things that really struck me was reading about how you talk about joy and chaos can coexist. And I don't know about you. I'm like 59. So I always say I'm knocking on 60, but I sort of feel like once I turned 50, I was in total chaos, you know, not just with postmenopausal stuff, but you know, who am I? Where am I going? What am I going to do with my life? You know, do I need a purpose? Do I need a passion? You know, do I need a boyfriend? You know, all these things that were just constantly, you know, roaming in my head all the time. So how can we be joyful and being chaos? How can we coexist with those two things?
Well, I think it's a great question, but I think for me, it was really realizing that it's a choice. You know, it's things happen to us, and everybody has heard this. It's so like trite. It's not what happens to you. It's how you handle it. And it's not the fact that you fall, but how quickly you get back up. So we've heard those things all the time. This specific topic kind of came up for me in 2020. With the pandemic, with having such tremendous chaos, like in the media, and it was like inescapable. And I found myself feeling like somehow I wanted to fix all the world's problems but in addition to my own life problems. And one day I just woke up and I was like, you know what? I can't do this. I have to focus on what I teach, which is focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. And what I want is fun. And what I want is joy. And so I made a specific choice that I would listen to the news or learn about what was happening in the world to the degree that I felt informed, but not that I let it consume me. And then to say, okay, I recognize that. And this emotion that I'm feeling right now, like a guest that's messing up the inside of my home, I will gently invite them to leave. I'm not going to let them stay. And that emotion, if it's not serving me, I just made a conscious choice. Like, I feel it. I'm listening to it. I recognize it. Okay. It's teaching me something. It's done its job now. And what I want is joy. So I will escort that other emotion out and choose joy and put on, the way I do it is I put on one of my many favorite songs and I'll dance myself out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that because I think, oh my gosh, I agree. We get so mired down and just follow that, you know, primrose path of destruction and disaster that's constantly bombarded. And I'm still really feeling it today, even though things have, I feel, lightened up a lot. Still feel like I'm being, you know, drug along by all that crap from 2020. It never goes away. Yeah. It's like, but you know, I liked what you said because I think one of a big part of it is your mindset as well. You know, if you lived in this fixed mindset or kind of way of living where nothing is good or nothing can change or I can't get out of this chaos that I'm in, you will stay there.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most empowering moments when we recognize that we have choice in our feelings. We have choice in how we handle things. We don't have to be reactive to everything. And I am really proactive in my day. Every morning I wake up and I actually use my own journal. I created a journal and I you know, sell it, but I use it myself because I didn't used to need to use it, but after all of the things that were happening. So I'm really proactive about, you know, we have this one and only life that we know of, at least I know of, I don't know what else happens. I want to have fun and I want to experience joy. And so for me, it's being really proactive about what it is that I want and recognizing that as women, sometimes I think we feel responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we feel so responsible for everything. And I just decided I have to be responsible for my heart and protecting it and finding joy. So I think being proactive about what gives you joy, like music and dance brings me joy. Spicy margaritas, like you said, bring me joy.
Bring on the margaritas.
It's too early. It's 10 a.m. But it's something little like getting myself a fresh jalapeno. And if I'm going to make a margarita on the rocks at the end of the day, taking the time to slice that jalapeno because it just makes it that much better. And while I'm doing it, I am fully present for that moment. And that is another way to experience joy in the chaos, is to be fully present for the moments of joy. And that's a muscle like anything else that can be improved and strengthened.
I love that because sometimes I think people think that we have to go big or go home, but it's just those, you know, you can find joy in such little moments. And I think that's where we really need to start, because if we're just constantly looking, trying to find the big moments that we think are going to bring us joy, we're going to miss what actually brings us joy. You know, slicing the jalapeno for your margarita. I think that's great.
Yeah, it is. It's being present for those small moments of joy, because the little small moments add up to a life, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, just speaking to finding joy in the chaos, is I think everything in life is really about balance. At the end of the day, it's like we're trying to balance, whether it's a work life and a home life, we're trying to balance a spicy margarita with, you know, fresh spinach, eating healthy. So it's always about that balance. And for me, laughter is really important. Like, I think it's so important to laugh every day. And everyone laughs at different things, but there is so many resources now for laughter, you know, whether it's a silly reel on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. But there's ways to discover laughter. And so again, it's being proactive about how you want your day to un- not just unfold, but to create it.
Yeah, I agree. And on your website, you say, I'm the happiest person I know. I believe that was the quote. I may have misquoted that, but I believe that's what it says. And that's what sort of draw me to you. When you're talking about funny, this is neither here nor there, but this is really, so I'm gonna like, I want my listeners to see if you found this as funny as I did. So I go to this drugstore yesterday to get a couple of things. And I'm up to the counter paying, and some man walks in, he's probably in his mid 80s, and he just stands in the door and he yells, birthday cards, just like that. So the guy behind the counter says, oh, they're, you know, on aisle 5 or whatever, I'll be with you in a minute. And so the clerk looks at me, and I think he probably knew that I was a person he could be inappropriate with about another customer, but he said, I said that look on my face. I had a mask on, so I don't know. But anyway, he said, that's a new way of shopping. Come in the front door and scream what you want. I laughed the entire 10 minutes home. And then I had to come tell Steve. I was like, that's the funniest thing I've heard. So I'm still laughing about it. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But
It is. It's finding those moments and just allowing yourself to laugh. I am very fortunate because my husband and my youngest daughter, who's 23 but works with us, both of them have this amazing ability that if I start laughing about something, they know how to, I don't know how to say it in English. In Spanish, it's jalar el hilo. It's like, it means pull the thread so that it keeps going.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I'm really fortunate. Like unspooling a thread kind of thing, but it's like, they know how to make that moment and turn it into a 20 minute, you know, Comedy Central stand-up routine. So I am very fortunate to have the family members who are really good at that.
Yeah. I know that there's actually like research. I don't know what it is. You probably know, but that laughter is good for you in lots of ways.
Oh, it is. It's 100%. The research is there just around kindness, around laughter, around happiness, gratitude. And I actually had someone tell me, I was doing a Zoom call and I said, you know, I'm really healthy. I haven't been sick. We were talking about health or whatever. And I said, well, I haven't been sick in, you know, I don't know, 15 years or something like that. And he said, well, you smile a lot. So that must mean that you're happy and that's how you're healthy. And I feel grateful to have been wired in a way that I naturally am inclined to the happy kind of optimist. Uh-huh. But I've worked with thousands of people who are wired opposite of that. And there's always a way to retrain our brain and our heart and soul. And so there's always a way.
So how can we do that? Because I know several curmudgeons that would never laugh at anything. And I don't know if it's because they don't want to laugh, like they have this persona, like I'm not going to laugh at anything, or they're just generally people who don't laugh. I always feel like I've been more prone to the optimistic, happy side of life, regardless of what's going on.
Well, I think for people who are wired, I call them Eeyores, you know, it's like, oh, it's such a pretty day. Yeah, well, I hope it doesn't rain. You know, there's like the Eeyore. I think I've worked with a lot of Eeyores, but they have to want to reprogram or re-change create that. That's the first thing, is recognizing it's possible and two, wanting to, because it's totally possible.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you are more proactive person than reactive. Have you always been proactive? Is that just your nature, or? Because I know, I looked at your bio and you just have this long history of accomplishments, which is amazing, which we'll talk about in a second.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have always been really proactive. And I think that, you know, recently, especially I work with a lot of younger female leaders and emerging entrepreneurs, and there's a characteristic called initiative. And I think some people are born with initiative and some people have to work at it like a muscle, like everything else. And I definitely was born with initiative, but I have to attribute a lot of that to my parents. I was really fortunate to be raised by parents one, my mom from Central America, which is why I just blurted out in Spanish, my Central American mom and my father, who's from the United States, you know, Southern California boy. And I was raised to have a lot of confidence in my ability. Like, I never had a lot of doubt, not arrogant at all. But that confidence, I think, fuels initiative. Like, I didn't have fear that I would fail, or if I did, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to learn something from it. So I didn't have that, which a lot of people do. Like, they have to be perfect at something. They're a perfectionist. And if they do it, it has to be done really right. And I've not had that. Like, I'm not scared of making mistakes. And when you're not really scared of making mistakes, you have no reason to not go for something, which allows you to have initiative. So I have been pretty proactive. The way that I have operate is, if there's a goal, I decide that that's what I would want to achieve or achieve for my family, and it's going to happen. I never have doubt that it won't happen. It may not happen the time I wanted it to, but it always happens.
I think it's really an interesting point you make about, you know, the more confident you are, and you make mistakes, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a mistake, I move on. And that's just, you know, just part of this mindset that we have. And I especially think, as if you've been like that forever, you know, if you're 59, you've just constantly been like that, where you think, I was born without initiative, so there, I cannot change it, which is not true. You can, you just have to be curious and, you know, and decide that, is this something that you want to pursue? You know, I totally suck at math, and I have taken lots of math classes. You know, I've taken. I've taken, you know, social policy research, all sorts of quantitative stats. So I know I can do it. I just don't want to do it. There's a difference between, you know, saying I can't do it or I don't want to. Yeah. Do it. I can do it. I just choose not to do it.
He wants to put this quote on a t-shirt, because I say, I do math. I can do math in an emergency if I have to. That's when I do math, in cases of emergency. So I'm so right there with you. Yeah. And I'm impressed with the classes that you've taken, because I haven't even ventured there.
Well, it was for my degree. I didn't really want to, but it was like, if I'm going to graduate, here's what you're going to do. But oh, shoot, I forgot what I was going to say now. But yeah, so, it, you know, it's all part of, I'm just using math as an example because it's an easy one, but it's all part of, as you're growing up or, you know, moving through life, when you say things like, I'm bad at math. Well, yeah, you will be bad at math. Or I suck at, well, yeah, you will suck at. But, you know, I just think that being curious, opening your mind, trying new things, because going back to what you said about being confident in mistakes, is that I have found, and I've talked to a lot of women that I interview on this podcast, just like yourself, who say, yeah, I tried something. I got the courage. It was scary. But then even if I made a mistake, or even if I succeeded, when I got to the other side, I was like, well, that wasn't so bad. What was I so afraid of? You know, that wasn't.
Never
that wasn't,
is anything.
It never is, ever. We always let our mind go to the worst possible scenario. Another thing that I'm really curious about, you say on your website, is that, we're like, whoop, switch gears here, listeners, sorry. But you talk, you say on your website that you empower people to co-create a better, so I'm sorry for you people watching me on YouTube, but I have broken my bifocals. So this is going to be an awkward moment for all of us. So bear with me. You help people discover their natural gifts, and you empower them to co-create a life that is amazing and congruent with their North Star. I love that concept of a North Star. What is that?
Thank you. You know, I think of the North Star as, it's what guides us, right? And recently I heard, it was a young woman, and she's like, all this pressure about finding our purpose, and why does it have to be so heavy about finding our purpose and discovering our, you know, sense of significance on the planet? Why can't we just be, and blah, blah, blah? And it really made me sad, because the way that she was talking about that North Star, what I call that North Star, your purpose and passion, it was, she was saying it as if it was this heavy thing, and it isn't. For me, your North Star goals are the values that guide you. So clearly, we've just been talking about one of the values that guides me is fun. And that doesn't mean that I don't also value integrity. And like, that's one of my values too. But I think the important message in what you just read is that everybody, men and women, but I tend to work mostly with women, we all have natural gifts. We don't usually see the value in what comes naturally to us because it comes naturally. So we assume, we just assume like that it's easy for everybody. And so I start by like, let's talk about where your natural gift is. I work with a young brand photographer and have really helped her expand her business. And it started with her discovering through our kind of conversations that one of her natural gifts is the ability to be fully present for people. And she's like, well, that's not hard. You know, you're just there and you listen and you're like open with your heart. And I'm like, okay, it may not be hard for you, but it is one of your natural gifts. And there's a lot of value in that. So first it's discovering what your natural gifts are that, and recognizing how valuable and worthy they are, and therefore how valuable and worthy you are. And then speaking to what drives you. What is it that you feel passionate about? When your soul feels like a little discontent, it's just a message saying you want more of something else. And so what's the something else that you long for? And listening to that. So that's kind of how I say your North Star goals. And connecting service to your goals is really important too. Like if you have a passion, or like a podcast, like you have a podcast, you must have this passion to inspire other people, to just be real, to help women at a certain age recognize their joy and all of those things. That's part of your purpose, part of your passion, part of your North Star goals. And one of the reasons it feels so good probably is because it's making a difference for someone else, not just you.
Yeah. I love that. And when you said, you know, we take for granted what comes naturally to us, it just like sort of clicked for me in that moment when you said that, because I know that. But I had listened to a podcast several years ago, and I can't remember who it was, but the woman had a guest on, and the guest said that, you know, like people always, you know, trying to find this purpose and passion and making this big, huge ordeal and then just giving up. But she said, whenever someone says, you know, I'm trying to find my purpose, she envisions a bunch of, you know, people over 50 in a room, walking around, bumping into each other, looking at the floor and the ceiling and saying to each other, I seem to have lost my purpose. Have you seen it? You know, so that's just one thing that sort of stuck with me, but I so agree. And I hope the listeners, that was just so good, but I hope the listeners can take from, you know, what you said, Linda, is that, you know, it's just like we talked about joy. You know, it doesn't have to be this big, gigantic thing that you're looking at. No. You start with, you know, just like you said, I love doing podcasts for lots of reasons. Lots of reasons. One of them is to, you know, get brilliant, successful women in front of my listeners who feel that they can't have that type of life, and to be inspired and motivated and to take action on creating that life they love. And I love to talk. So there are two things. It serves them, it serves me, you know? So yeah, just, you know, if you take nothing else from any other episode I've ever done, take this, that start small and start with where you are and look at what you're doing right now and be in that moment. Don't go off, you know, down the road looking for something big just because somebody else is doing it or has it, or the self-help book says you need to do it. You know, I love that. That was brilliant.
Thank you. I just have to say, what's ironic about it is you mentioned math and some of the courses that you've taken. So the exercise that I do to help people find their natural gifts and see what their value is, it's something that I learned that when I was going through, when I first met my coach 25, 30 years ago, And I remember the person next to me was like, whatever came natural for them was math. It was algebra, true, trig. It was, you know, like statistics and biology. And I remember like, oh my gosh, what comes natural to me is like, I laugh like easy. I like to make friends. And so this, it was such a juxtaposition that I had placed value on math and trig and, oh my God, that's so amazing. They're so smart. I didn't place value on the fact that I laugh easy and that I love people and that I make friends easily. And that is in turn what allowed me to be able to stand in front of 4,000 people and deliver a talk and not feel nervous because they were just people that I already loved. And someone else is like, oh my God, how can she do that? Because to me, that's easy. And so I didn't put value on it. And now it's just very exciting and so fun to work with people and help them realize that, gosh, those things that come natural to you, they are gifts. And that's where your joy is.
Yeah.
When you use your gifts, that's where your joy is.
Oh, exactly. And I think, you know, it's important too, when you talk about values, is that find your own value, because, you know, when you were talking about math, that you put a higher value on math than you did other things. That's because people are telling you to put a higher value on these things. That's more important than, not just math, but, you know, other things like money is more important than, or being thin is more important than. But, you know, your true North Stars, the way you defined it, will be finding the value that is yours and not giving a damn what anyone thinks about your value, but living that value.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, every single one of us is pretty much a miracle. In order for us to be born, the number of things that had to happen, the people that got together before your parents and their, like, and that's what I feel like sometimes as women, especially, we forget that we're extraordinary and miraculous because we were born.
Yeah.
And then everything else. And so when we can feel that and then look inside and like, what makes me genuinely happy?
Yeah.
And how I can use that to serve others, hopefully, you know, it's where it's at.
Yeah. I saw a Facebook post or something the other day where they talked about that. Like, and I just always looked like, you know, to my ancestors that I knew, like my grandmother, grandfather, but there were people that survived, you know, saber-toothed tigers or whatever was roaming the earth then. You're here. And that really truly is a miracle. And when you,
it is.
And when you spend some time thinking of the enormity of the people who came before you and actually survived, a lot of women died in childbirth, you know, a lot of babies died during childbirth. So that really, you know, put it in perspective for me in a big way. I'm glad that you brought that up. Well, hey, Linda, we're almost out of time, but I want you to spend some time telling my listeners about you. I mean, like I said, I was on your website, and I'm going to put the links to all the stuff in the show notes, but you just have had a brilliant career. I was really impressed with all that you've done. So I would love for you to talk about that and promote yourself a little bit to my listeners.
Oh, well, thank you. I have had, it's so funny. It should be an easy thing when someone says, so what do you do? It should be easy. I do this. It's like, well, yeah. I kind of do a lot. Well, I'm most proud of raising two incredible daughters. I have a 26-year-old and a 23-year-old. Both of them are just like rock star women who I've learned from my whole life and continue to do so. I run a wellness company. I'm the CEO. My husband and I are co-CEOs, but honestly, he's more involved with other projects right now. So I run the company. And then I also have my own brand. I've spent 30 years doing speaking and training. And back when I started, there was no YouTube, there was no social media. And I was very, very fortunate to be really busy and teach the largest team building event in the country. And there's really no record of it because, you know, 25 years ago, you didn't videotape yourself. People had to come to the event to see and hear you. Yeah. So it's evolved a lot. but I really just love working mostly with women. I always say a few good men or a few brave men, but I work mostly with women and female entrepreneurs, and I have a coaching program, and I've recently started a nonprofit because I think it's really, really important to empower women to discover their North Star goals. And they don't all have the resources, whether it's coaching, mentoring, entrepreneurial, like business basics. So we're going to be offering a lot through the Heroic Joy Leadership Academy, which is a nonprofit. And I spent the last 2 weeks writing a curriculum for Global Dignity, which is a very large charity. I'm so proud. Desmond Tutu, Richard Branson are on the board of directors, and I've just written a kindness in the workplace training. And so I've been really busy with that, but that project is coming up to a close. So I'll be starting another group coaching session. And I guess that's a little bit about me. I don't know.
No, that's great. And I love that you're doing work for not-for-profits. I've actually spent, and I'm wrapping up my over almost 27 year career in not-for-profits and the public sector. So I've spent my entire life in the not-for-profit world. So
love that.
Well, except for my brief stint, a sabbatical in Colorado, where I was a barista at a coffee shop. So great. That was a fun experience. Let me tell you, I wish I could make coffee all day, but it doesn't make my car payment. So, hey, Linda, thank you so, so much. And I'm going to place all Linda's information, how you can get on her coaching program, find her website, and all this stuff down in the show notes below. So before we leave, do you have any last words of wisdom for my listeners?
Well, it's kind of, I guess if I'm known for anything, I'm known for this statement, and that is just open your heart and your mouth at the same time. And you really can't go wrong, whether it's in business, in parenting, in relationships. That is the piece of advice that I've been giving for 30 years, and people seem to resonate with it, but they don't always do it. And part of the reason is because they don't trust others and they don't trust themselves when they open their mouth and their heart at the same time. And that's really the work that I've spent so much of my life doing, is to help them trust that they can do that, help people trust their own voice.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the two other topics I want to talk to you about, but we'll have you back on as a guest. So thank you so much, Linda. I really appreciate you spending time with us. And to everyone who is listening, until next time, stay awesome.